We've been going through the story of covenant and how important covenant is in our lives. And God's in covenant with us, isn't he, Kerry? And nothing will ever break that covenant. He's in for the long haul with you and I. And no matter what we do, he's there to rescue us. He loves us and nothing changes that. Amen? He is committed to us. And when we understand the commitment that Jesus has made to us and that God has made to us and how alive we are with the Holy Spirit within us, then we need to understand that what God expects of his body, he expects the body to do the same as the head. He's the head, we're the body. And he says, I'm looking for covenant relationships between all of you, that you will be committed to one another. And you won't be fazed by somebody having an off day and somebody who is getting there but not quite there, and that's all of us. We're all in a process and we all sometimes get it wrong. And God says, be patient with one another as I am patient with you. Love one another as I have loved you. Be committed to one another as I am to you. And so we've been going through a few stories in the Bible where commitment and covenant were very important. And we've been looking at David and God's covenant with David, and how God, David was formed and shaped by that covenant. But in his heart, David was already a covenant man. He was a hard worker. He was committed. When he said he would do something, he did something. And he was a man who understood covenant. And I think today's generation struggles with understanding covenant. Covenant? What's covenant? Covenant is saying, I've made an agreement with you. I've made a covenant with you that you're my brother and I will love you no matter what. If you offend me, I will forgive you. And if I offend you, you will forgive me. This is something that God expects his children to do. And if the world understood covenant, it would be a far different place. But so it's so easy to walk away and with your feelings hurt. Well, that's not God. That's not covenant. Covenant's not about me. Covenant's about the body, about others. And this is what the message that comes across strongly in the story of David. And next, well, I think it's the week after next, we're going to talk about Jonathan. But this last week is the covenant heart number 3, and it's headed, Covenant People Draw from a Shepherd's Bag. And I'm thinking, how does this fit in? And when you read through it, the shepherd's bag is the local church. Yeah. It's where the sheep connect. It's where the sheep get fed. And we're going to have a look at some of this. And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. Last week we covered the story where the Philistines were facing in battle. The Philistines and the Israelites were facing one another in battle last week. And the Israelites were terrified and they didn't know how they were going to escape from this situation. And David came along and David looked at Goliath. You all know the story. And he was incensed with anger about this evil man who stood up and defied the armies of the living God and challenged them. And he said, you uncircumcised Philistine, in the name of Jesus, in the name of God of the angel armies, I'm going to pull you down. And he did exactly that. And this week we're continuing on the story. We finished last week where Saul tried to get David to wear his armor as he went to face Goliath, and David tried it on and he said, I can't move with all this stuff on me. Take it off me. Just give him my sling and a stone and see what God will do. And so we learnt from that God doesn't require the help of man. It's, if God says he's going to do something, if he fires you up inside and you know it's God, then trust him all the way. Don't try and help God out. He doesn't need it. He just wants your availability. So in verse 14, the message, it said, then David took his shepherd's staff, selected 5 stones from the brook, put them in the pocket of his shepherd's pack, and with his sling in his hand, he approached Goliath. A few interesting points there. David took his shepherd's staff. The shepherd's staff, the crook, it was a very significant thing in the Old Testament. All the old patriarchs had a staff on which they leaned. They relied on this staff. And whenever God came through and they had a victory, they would notch it up on this staff. And it was like something that they could look at and relate to and said, that when I marked that up, that was a certain situation. And so their staff was like, I would record in my notebook, and sometimes I write it in the Bible, that God gave me this verse and it was fulfilled on a certain date. And it's good to keep a record, because when you look back, it inspires you. When you're facing a challenge, then think back to last time you were facing a challenge and, hey, God gave me this word and God keeps his word and this is what happened. And this time, it's going to be the same. God is going to come through for me. He will not let me down. Why do I know that? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's in covenant with me. And nothing I can do can break that covenant other than deliberately walk away from him and tell him I don't ever want anything to do with him again. I am not going to do that. I love him and he loves me. And it's inseparable. That's God. Another thing David did, he collected 5 smooth stones. The smooth stones are important because the smoothness of the stones represents the washing of the water of the word that removes our rough edges and matures our lives. Our lives are like those stones, and when we come to Jesus, those stones are all rough and they need the word to smooth them off, to get the rough edges off, to get like the emery board and the file, and it smooths it all down and makes it beautiful. And that's what God is doing. But he does that as we read the word. I don't know about you if you've ever experienced that, but if I've got my neck in a knot and I've got a wrong attitude, I'll guarantee when I pick my Bible up next morning or the daily notes, it'll hit me straight between the eyes and God will say, it'll be like, oh, you were there, God. You saw it. And God's saying, we need to talk about this. We need an attitude change, Grace. And don't feel condemned when God does that. It's brilliant because he loves you. He corrects us. That's what good parents do. And so the word, as we read it, it talks about the washing of the water of the word. The word washes you clean, keeps you clean. And smooth. In fact, water, when it's constantly going over stones over a period of years, smooths them out, doesn't it? And that's the process that's going on in our life. So it's really essential to be disciplined and pick that word up every day, as much as possible every day, and read it and say, God, speak to me this morning. And he will speak to you. And he knows just where to hit the spot, doesn't it? Really, God? But yes, really. It's interesting that he took 5 stones because 5 is the number of grace. The grace of God, the favour of God, the love of God. That's what that means. And I thank God for his grace, his mercy, because without that, I would not be here today, and neither would any of us be here. But that's what God does. It's unmerited favour. We can never earn it. We can never do good works to earn it. God said, freely I give you of my grace. And he's always looking favourably towards us. And when God gives you an assignment, when he gives you a job to do, he always gives you the grace, the favour, the peace and the confidence to do what he's assigned you to do. And I thank God again for that. Because one word from God will settle you down. It will establish you. And you know that you know that you know. He's there. He's listening. And he's made the way ahead for you. I think about when Paul, God said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Whoa, he understands. Five also represents the fivefold ministry. And in the local church, there is always to be the fivefold ministry. And let's just quickly have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Again from the Message. I might go a few verses beyond because it all relates. This Paul is talking about Jesus. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. Like this, no prolonged infancies amongst us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. The fivefold ministry is here in the church to train all of us, to teach all of us how to live in relationship with God, how to hear him, how to recognize his voice, how to follow him, what to do and what not to do, and what to do when you've got problems. There's just a whole host of things that the fivefold ministry will teach you, and that's there's the prophet, there's the evangelist, there's the pastor, there's the teacher, who have I missed? The apostle. And I think I'll leave it at that for now. We'll explain them all later, but they're all there to teach us to grow up and grow together, teach us about God and what God's looking for. But this fivefold ministry is only effective in the local church where God has placed you. You can't get it from Christian TV. We get this ministry by staying in a church, getting established in the local church in which God has placed you, because there he will teach you the things of the kingdom. And that's where we grow. There is no growth when you go flitting from church to church to church, as Andrew was talking about plant pot Christians. You can't grow in a plant pot. You need to be rooted and established like a tree in the ground and draw from the source in the soil. Another interesting thing is you can't draw from a shepherd's bag if you haven't got a shepherd. So we all need a shepherd in the flock. And those who want kingdom benefits without being properly submitted and related to genuine spiritual eldership and oversight, they're not covenant people. It's essential that we're in covenant with the local church in which God has placed us. There we shall find God will provide all the food and all the answers that we are looking for. God will help us through every situation that we find ourselves in, that we might mature, know the word of God. And when the devil attacks us, immediately a verse comes into our minds, into our spirits, and it rises up within us, and you shout it at the devil and you say, this is what God says, and this is what I agree with, and this is the way it's going to be, devil. And when it's all finished, I'll be on my feet and you'll be flat on your back. Amen? He needs to know that. He needs that we shall stand. We believe in the name of Jesus and we shall stand. Amen. Andrew has been saying, he was saying on Sunday that we're shortly going to start some foundational teaching classes. And I think, wow, how timely is that? We've got some really beautiful new Christians and Christians who've maybe been in church life for a long time but really want to develop in their relationship with God. And God is saying to us, teach these young people, teach these young Christians how they can grow and develop and hear God for themselves. And, you know, as time moves on, then they will become stronger and stronger and they will be in due course teaching others the things that they have learnt. That's all of what happens in the local church. We need to know who we are and the authority we have been given, and that the devil is under our feet. Let's have a look at verse 41 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read 41 and 42. We've read in the previous verse that David picked up 5 smooth stones and he put them in his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand he approached Goliath. As the Philistine, Goliath that is, paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, he noticed David, this little man. Oh, in actual fact, Joan and I reckon he was about 17. And he was a very small, insignificant looking 17-year-old. Goliath took one look at David and sneered. A mere youngster, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed, it says in the Bible. He's got scrawny bits of hair on his face. He was only a squirt of a kid. You know, we can learn from this that God's ways are foolishness to the world. Goliath looked at David and thought, you insult me. I scorn you. I treat you with contempt. How dare you come before me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm going to do to you? No, you're not. There was somebody much, 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 much bigger behind David that thought that Goliath had no idea at all. God's ways are absolute foolishness to the world. So don't ever be put off. Don't be deceived by appearances. Appearances are very, very deceiving. And don't make assumptions about people. And never rush into relationships. Wait. Watch. Listen, do their words and their actions match up? Wait to see what kind of fruit they produce. You by their fruits, you shall know them. It takes a long time for fruit to come. So don't be impatient. Be prepared to wait, to watch, to listen. Now, is this person genuine? Do they do what it says on the tin? Verse 43. The Philistine ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his God. It says in Proverbs 26 and verse 2, a curse causeless cannot come. It was an empty threat and an empty curse from an empty-headed man. It had no power behind it. Don't listen to the devil's torments and threats and intimidations and curses, because an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim, because God's got you. I shall cry, God has got you, and no curse that comes against you can stand. So just blow it off, ignore it, look at God and keep going. Amen. Verse 45. Come on, said Goliath, I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty mortal for the field mice. Yeah, sure you will. An empty threat against God's chosen man. And whatever the devil says to you, just always remember this. He's a liar, he's a thief, and he never, ever can do anything against you when you know God. You're under God's divine protection, and the devil is just an empty head and a clanging cymbal. We are God's children, we're God's sons and God's daughters. And God is committed to us. And if you want to know how committed God is to you, then I say to you, read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can anything separate us from the love of God? And it gives a whole list of stuff that can never separate you from the love of God. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's no condemnation to you. Nobody can condemn you. No one. And if good, godly Christians will not condemn you. But the devil will. And he'll try that tack every time. He wants you to live in fear, in condemnation, in guilt, in sickness, in disease. And God is saying, no, no, no. Don't look at him. Don't listen to him. Look at the word. Look at me. What am I saying? That's the truth. It's the truth that will set you free and will keep you free. Verse 45. David said to Goliath, you come at me with sword and spear. In other words, natural weapons. He said, but I come at you in the name of the Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, I come against you with. Israel, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and you mock. You know, David knew he had supernatural power within him. He knew that he was not stood there on his own. He was empowered by God. And there's a scripture that we need to know. And it's 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. And it's in the King James Version. The supernatural weapons that we have are given there in 2 Corinthians 10, 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. But they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Who builds strongholds? The devil builds strongholds. So if you want to put him out and pull him down and kick him out, get rid of him, it's the word of God that you need. That's your warfare. Let him have it, both barrels. Amen. That's what David did. Carrying on. David said, this very day, God is handing you over to me, and I'm about to kill you and cut off your head and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by sword or spear. and I love this, the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. He's handling you to us on a platter, David said to Goliath. He told him exactly what was going to happen. He prophesied what was going to happen. Andrew's been talking about the power of the tongue, the power of our words. And before David went and attacked Goliath, he told him exactly what he was going to do to him. And that is exactly what he did. He got his... he acted. Actually, the next thing David did, it says in verse 48 that what David said roused Goliath, and he started to run towards David. And David took off from the front line, running towards Goliath. David reached into his pocket for a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine with a sling with the stone, and it hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding deeply, and the Philistine crashed face down in the dirt. David acted on his word, the word of God, and he wasn't frightened, he wasn't intimidated by Goliath. He set off with purpose and destiny, and he was just so empowered by the word of God that he was fearless, and all he needed was one stone. And I want you to remember this, that one word from God will take your enemy out. I can stand here and give you testimony after testimony after testimony. When I've been in a situation, I've gone to God, he's given me one verse from this scripture, and I've stood on it, told the devil this is how it's all going to finish. This is the result of what God has said, and this is how it will be. And guess what? That's how it was. Amen. God keeps his word. He's in covenant with you, and you're entitled to speak this word. It's God's word. It's as powerful in your mouth as it is in God's mouth, and it will do the same job as if God himself was on the scene. He is. When you speak, you bring God into the situation. When you speak the word of God. And in verse 50, we see that David got final victory and the devil came down. If you've got a giant, if you're facing a giant, it only needs one word from God to bring him down. Praise God. Covenant keeping ensures that we get final victory. David got final victory. And no one should have the right to speak a word of greater authority to topple your giant than your shepherd. The shepherd in the local flock knows his sheep. He knows them fairly well. And sometimes he has to go out with that crook and do a bit of, it's this way, encouraging them back. Sometimes he has to dig them out of a hole when they've got in a mess. We saw that, didn't we, on the Facebook picture the other week when this stupid sheep went running and stuck its head between a crevice in a rock and it got stuck. Couldn't get its head out. The shepherd had to go and fetch it out. He got it out, put it back on the floor. The next thing, it ran off. It ran down the lane and jumped in a gutter and got stuck again. Now, is that a sheep? It is. It really is. No wonder God calls us, we're like sheep. We are stupid sometimes. He rescues us once and we go running off and run straight into another ditch and get trapped. But God, he is so patient, so loving, so gentle, so kind. I'm so glad, because sometimes we don't seem to have anything between the ears, but God understands. Your shepherd will teach you how to skillfully use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It pierces between bone and marrow and, what's the other one, bone and marrow and
Yeah. Yeah. I can't bring it to mind at the minute, but I know it does.
We need to let the covenant teachings from the shepherd in the local church sink into our foreheads. And these teachings will kill the Goliath that may well be between your ears. The devil likes to take the high places. He likes to take your mind. He likes to attack you here. We said last week that Goliath means exile, denude. Forgotten the other word, but he takes you into captivity. And how does he do it? By the mind. What does the Word of God do? It renews our minds. That's why we need to know the Word of God. Renewing our minds, teaching us to think differently. And immediately the devil puts a negative in. Don't accept it. Throw it out and replace it with what God says, a positive. And that will stop the enemy from trying to take a stronghold. But you know, if we don't pull down these strongholds in our minds, these habits, then it gets stronger and stronger. We've got to put him out immediately. We need to take captive every thought that stands against the Word of God. And we need to know who we are and the authority God has invested in us to bring down giants. And as Andrew was saying earlier, that when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us complete victory over everything that the devil will throw at you. And it's not going to be something that happens in the future. It's now. It's done. God says, you are healed now. In 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. And you are healed. And you say, but my body doesn't say so. Well, keep speaking it to your body. Because the truth is, you are. And this body has to bow the knee and submit. Because it's got a giant. And it's saying, I'm not coming down. And you say, you are coming down. Because it is written. How did Jesus overcome the devil in the wilderness? By the word of God. All he ever said to the devil was, it is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. The devil is a usurper. And if you don't know who you are and the word of God, you'll fall for his tricks. And he'll get you trapped and he will exile you. A thought that came to me when I was studying this was that if David had focused on Goliath, he would not have defeated him. There is a real lesson there. You do not focus on your giant. You do not focus on your problem. You find the word of God, you ask God for a word, he gives you a word, and then run at the devil with everything you've got and say to him, I don't accept your lies. I know the truth. And this is the truth. And speak the word of God to him. This is the truth. And he cannot resist the truth. He has to bow the knee. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his sole purpose. Kill, steal, and destroy. The devil will hunt you down. He will separate you from the flock. He will take you captive. He will isolate you. He will shame you, he will exile you, and he will fill your focus and draw you in. You have to know how to stop him. Don't let him do any of those things. Immediately take that thought captive and bring it into subjection to the truth. No, I don't accept that thought. No, you are not going to isolate me. No, you are not going to make me feel ashamed. You are not going to fill my focus. I am not going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to do what David did. I'm not going to look at Goliath. I'm not going to keep him in my focus. I am going to focus on what God says
because there's my victory. There's my freedom. Oh, folks, don't ever listen to the devil. And when you're under pressure, don't run away from the flock. Get back in the fold. Get back where the shepherd and the sheep are, because there's huge protection there. That's the very time you need the protection and the support of the shepherd and the sheep, because especially the sheep who are locked together in covenant, they're not here to gossip, they're not here to condemn, they're here shouting the victory when one returns and says, come on, together we are stronger, together we can do it. I was just thinking of some of the devil's entry points and listening to people over the last few months who've come and have had issues. Traumatic experiences are an entry point for the devil. When you go through something really traumatic, your defences are down, and the devil is no gentleman. He pushes straight in. He doesn't care how traumatic the situation has been for you. He will add to it and make it a thundering time worse. So if you've had a traumatic experience, and even now, it might be years later, you don't have any peace about it, you can't put it to rest, there's something you haven't done. The devil is a master at bringing accusations from the past, and they stab you in the heart like knives. The answer to both of these is forgiveness. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, Jesus said, love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? I mean, they were the most amazing words ever. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And a lot of the folk who attack you, they don't know God. They don't know any better. They do it because that's what they've been taught to do. That's how they've been brought up to live. They don't know God's ways. So see it for what it is sometimes. And have mercy. And forgive. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, forgive. If you've anything against anyone, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. If we don't forgive others, then we're putting ourselves in a very vulnerable situation, because God is not going to forgive us. Ooh. Don't do it. Always forgive. Forgive if you want to be forgiven. Forgive those who hurt you. And sometimes the biggest thing that we have to overcome is forgiving ourselves. How could I fail? How could I be so stupid? Why did I do that? How did the devil take me captive on that one? But come on, wake up, smell the roses. We've all failed. We've all got it wrong. We've all messed up. Get over it. God's forgiven you. You ask God for forgiveness. You forgive others. God forgives you. We're free. The minute we forgive those who hurt us. And I am not underestimating the pain and the hurt that some situations will bring. They are very difficult to overcome. And sometimes you feel, I can't do it. But I would encourage you, ask God to give you the ability to forgive. And he will do that. Because if we refuse to forgive, we chain ourselves to the past. It's like a chain that connects you to that situation. And everywhere you go, it colours everything that you do. It affects you constantly. Always there in your mind. It won't sleep. You can't put it to rest. You can't forget it. You have no peace. And God says, forgive immediately that we forgive those who hurt us.
That chain is broken. And we release ourselves from all bondage. And we know that we're free. It's just like a great load drops off your back. Like when you came to Jesus and asked him for forgiveness. A load dropped off your back. And you felt so light and free. And that's what God wants us to be. So even if you feel that you struggle to forgive them from your heart, make a conscious decision that I am going to forgive this person. And God will give me the ability to do it from my heart. And when you reach that point where it's a heart forgiveness, the chains are broken. You are free and you can walk on into a bright and wonderful future with God. And the devil has no chain dragging you back all the time. You are free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And another thing that we must never do is look back. Never ever look back. Because every time you look back, you reenact the event. And the whole event, the pain of it, intensifies. Every time you reenact it, the thing gets stronger. The pain becomes more intense. Remember Lot's wife. God told her, don't look back. And she looked back, and that was the end of her. She had turned to stone. Another thing you should never do is try and fight the devil with your intellect. Don't reason with him. Don't answer him back what you think or how it is, and never agree with him. Never agree with him. But what your giant wants you to do is to get into a conversation with him, to get into a dialogue with him. You know, when Jesus turfed the demons out, he said, he forbid them from speaking. He says, silence, out, get out. He wouldn't talk to the demons. We don't need to talk to giants and demons that get in our mind. Get out of the boxing ring and get out the way. Get to the word of God. Get a word from God. And that one word will put the giant down once and for all. Let God into the boxing ring and you get out. And God will hit the devil with one word and he won't ever come back. He won't ever get up like Goliath. He'll be dead. It's really important that we don't let the devil build a stronghold in our minds. That's why we need to know the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And this verse has been with me all week, and I love it. Matthew 11, verse 28. And I think it goes on to verse 29. Matthew 28 and 29. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that what all of us want? Rest. For our souls. There's only Jesus can give you that rest. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in the body of Christ, in the local church, you will learn how to rest in God's word. You'll learn how to fight with God's word. You'll learn how to defeat the enemy with God's word. But it's all supernatural with the word of God. It's a living word, an active word. It's a sword in our hands. And it puts the devil to flight. God anoints those that draw from a shepherd's bag. If you want the anointing of the Holy Spirit, get connected in the local church and draw from the local church. Draw from the body. Draw from the teachings. Stay connected to the shepherd that God has placed over you. And do not abandon them. Don't be like stupid sheep and run off and think,
well, it looks better over there. It's not as challenging over there. I'll go there and we can get more comfortable. No, we need to be uncomfortable. We need to be challenged. Because it's only as we're challenged that we grow. And in past weeks, so many Christians I've heard of who have lived in bondage for most of their lives. And God's cry from his heart is that Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's only rest in Jesus. He is our Sabbath rest, and he's a wonderful Saviour.